first of all, the Cubs won the World Series.
Yes,
so 2016
they did.
Is not
they
all
did.
Bad, right?
They did. This is what we have to
we
hang on to.
Hang on to that
right.
one. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I put on Facebook, I think last night or early this morning, it's all a blur at this point, that I fell asleep during the Cubs game and had this terrible dream.
Oh, had this dream. Really bad dream, yeah.
like that last season ending episode in Dallas, I guess it was about who shot JR.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot to absorb, but you know, it is fascinating to put it in context by looking at the nation as a whole. And boy, we are one mixed up country, I have to say.
Yeah.
You know, pot is legal for recreational use in California,
right.
Nevada, and Massachusetts now.
Yeah. Did Maine vote that way too?
I don't know if Maine voted on that or on medicinal use.
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
I'm not
about
sure.
That. Yeah.
But you know, that's probably going to be a big change for the country as a whole, because as California goes on this, it is thought eventually so goes the nation. It
yeah.
reminded me a lot, in fact, of 2008, when the United States of America elected Barack Obama,
yes.
and California passed Prop 8. And
yeah.
it was just a stunner the next day that had quietly slipped through.
Yeah.
Completely contrary to what everyone expected.
Yeah, which suggests that, you know, partisanship being what it is and as polarized as we are, we don't all fall along the same lines. We
right.
go to the polls and we vote for Donald Trump for president, and then we vote for some extremely liberal things further down the ballot,
right.
or vice versa.
And it just reminds me, too, of the Wizard of Oz and the Scarecrow
mm-hmm.
standing there pointing in both directions saying people do go both ways.
Yeah.
and that's kind of what the country did.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. I've heard a number of people talking about how this is obvious. I mean, and of course the mainly Trump supporters saying, "Oh, this was a change election," and so forth. I think it's exactly the opposite of that. And I mean, as a student of political science and a teacher of one, actually, I'd be interested to know what you think about this. I don't think this reflects a desire for change at all. I think it reflects a desire to halt change, that America's been through a lot of change, social and structural change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's some of it's gone too fast for a lot of people.
I started thinking about this last night, and a couple of things. First of all, and this is me speculating wildly, but I think hundreds of years down the road, when historians go back and write the history of this period, and they try to encapsulate the whole century in a paragraph and a half.
Good luck to them, by the way.
Good luck to them, but they're going to try to do it. And I think what they're going to say about like the last 25, 30 years is the Cold War ends, you move into
right.
this new period in world history, and it's a period where really for the first time ever the world opens up and we're
right.
in a truly globalized world.
Right.
But that creates a lot of significant radical changes and sort of a blurring or a fading of national
right.
lines. And what
right.
you're seeing, especially this year
That's
with
exactly
Brexit
right.
in the UK and now with Donald Trump, is a nationalist backlash, for better yeah,
right,
or worse.
Right. This central organizing principle that Americans had as I was growing up in the 60s and to some extent too in the 70s of the Cold War,
mm-hmm.
And the tensions between us and the Russians in some ways has returned. I have to say I have very deep concerns about the Russians' role in what's happened in this election.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still have them if Clinton had won.
Yeah, and it's really difficult for the U.S. in other sense to sort of control the world in the way that I think we're used to being able to do.
Right, that's certainly
so
how we
got
think
these
of
powers
ourselves.
That we, yeah. Exactly, right.
right.
And I think one of the concerns that people had, like Trump supporters who, you know, went around all year long saying, make America great again, make America great again, and people on the left are sitting here looking at them going, what are you talking about? America's already been great, that whole line from the DNC.
Right.
But I think what a lot of of people, Trump supporters, meant by that, and again, this is me speculating, is you look back at the Cold War, the U.S. was the superpower, the undisputed superpower in
right.
our half of the world.
That's right.
Cold War ends, we become a globalized world, and all of a sudden, we may still be the same size fish, but it's a much, much bigger pond, and all of a
right.
sudden, we realize we can't control the world the way that we
That's
thought
right.
we were able to do.
And
so
I think Mr. Trump's about to find that out, too.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's also, you know, what is he calling for? He's calling for an end to free trade, or at least sort of dialing
right.
back on the trade
right.
agreements, dialing back on internationalism, dialing back on global engagement, and sort of withdrawing into our
right.
sphere so we can be the big fish in the small pond
right.
again.
Right. That's exactly right. And I really don't think he's going to. I think this is sort of the next stage of the problem, is that much like what the Tea Party tried to do in 2010, I think that he's promised things that he can't deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things, I think that, you know, he used as a hyperbolic promises, the wall comes to my mind right away, that was to get people's attention symbolically, that, you know, it's going to be America first and all this, not necessarily appreciating that, you know, these kinds of claims have some pretty ugly, beginnings and historical references. So there's a lot to be worried about, but there's also still a lot of work to do in providing loyal opposition in the sense that it was really intended.
Speaking with Jean Bolduc, she's the host of Weekend Water Cooler here on WCHL, and you can check out more about the show on our website, chapelburger.com/WCHL, and listen to it on the weekends. Jean, what's next? What's next for the country? What's next for, you mentioned the loyal opposition, like people who have been opposed to Trump and Trumpism, whatever that entails. What's next for the country and for us?
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, it's up to me what's next, Aaron, as you know.
Mm-hmm. well, I think it is. I think it's like, and this is what I said on Facebook, like Donald, people who are worried about Donald Trump and what he means are worried because we think he's ushering in this new era of
hatred
time, and
right.
scary time.
Right.
But he doesn't get to decide whether we hate or not. We decide
that's
that.
Right.
So
it is up to us.
Yeah.
These are very individual choices that people have to make. And the very first choice that, you know, here's what I noticed, you know, with all of the, you know, Richard Burr wins his Senate mm-hmm. seat to continue, and everybody's down about that. And I looked at it and said, oh, but you know what? Orange County passed its bonds.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
I was worried about one of them, but we passed both of them, and it wasn't close.
Yeah. Durham County passed all four of theirs.
Passed
transit.
And you know, the people who are our neighbors, and as somebody said in a movie once, to do most of the living and dying in this town, I think that was George Bailey. You know,
you're right. That
that's
was
where
George
the
Bailey,
rubber meets
yeah.
the road. You
yeah.
know, is what your neighbors do and how we take care of each other as individuals. And I think that if we refocus on that and make sure that we're involved in our local governance and we are in our community. This is one of the reasons this is so hard for us to tolerate. There are a lot of communities where that's not true, and maybe what we need to reach out on a more local basis from town to town, from region to region around the state, and try to understand the rest of the state better so that we can all help each other more
yeah.
and become more resilient politically.
And I said last night that the age of Reagan is over when
oh,
Donald
yeah.
Trump gets elected. Like, we're done talking about Ronald Reagan as sort of the paragon of the Republican Party, which means that I can quote him now and say that, you know, in his inaugural address, I think it was, and he goes back to the Puritans, to Jonathan, to the Pilgrims in 1620, talking about America as a city on a hill, as being sort of this
right.
beacon or this example for the rest of the world to follow. I think that's great. And since we're on a hill here in our community,
right.
we can be the literal and figurative city on the hill.
That's,
like, we
boy,
can
I
set
like
the
that.
Example for
I
the
like
rest
that.
Of the world
yeah,
to follow.
Yeah, Chapel Hill would be the city on the hill for the state of North Carolina. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Let's definitely go with that.
We bring down Silent Sam and put up a statue of Ronald Reagan in
I'm not
poor
good,
place
I'm
with,
not good
with just
that.
With that
no,
quote
I,
right
I
underneath
just,
it.
You just
all
went right over the edge
I was
there.
Going with, I was going
gonna,
for compromise
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm not going
right.
to go with that.
All
no,
right.
I think one of the things that I take away from all this is I think that that Trump has really burned down both parties. I think that he has
yes.
absolutely structurally done – enormous damage to our faith in the political process. And I will say, too, I think journalism has some long, hard soul-searching to do about how this election was covered, about how well or evenly it was covered. I think there was entirely too much interest in the horse race and what the polls were and what mm-hmm. the numbers are this week. I think that there was some absolutely heroic reporting done out of the Washington Post yeah. and some out of Newsweek as well. And it was not enough, and so now we've elected a president whose tax returns we haven't seen, whose businesses he expects to continue running while he's president. And there is nothing to stop him from doing that. And that's deeply concerning to me. So, but we did that. We allowed that to get pushed aside so that we could keep track of Twitter.
Yeah, and in spite of the fact that it was all public. I think Ezra Klein right. on Vox.com said this. I think he said it before the election actually took place, and he was writing about, you know, the possibility of Trump presidency or what he means sort of long-term win or lose. None of that was swept under the rug. Like, I think you go out right. to Americans, they all knew he hadn't released his tax
exactly.
returns. They knew he had all
right.
of these concerns.
He didn't slip in the middle of the night. He just
yeah.
put it out there and said, yep. this is what it is, take it or leave it. And America took it.
Yeah.
So, you know, America took it. So now we're just going to have to get through it and see what the accountability can really be from the other branches of government. We'll see if they can step up and what they can do.
Yeah. Talked to my American government class this morning, which
was
a fascinating conversation.
How
we were supposed to talk about interest groups today, and we talked about that for like 15 seconds. you know, a lot of my students, it's Durham Tech. A lot of them were Bernie Sanders supporters. So
right.
like it was that level of difference from Donald Trump. But so we've been talking about it all semester long, the importance of the Constitution, checks and balances, separation
right.
of powers, the fact
right.
that the president can't do everything, and now we'll see how durable those institutions are, and
right.
maybe we'll see how durable American values are, because the Constitution is just a piece of paper. It's only meaningful if we make it meaningful.
Right.
It's only meaningful if the people in power make it meaningful. So we have to look to Congress, we have to look to the Supreme Court, and we have to look to the president too. Like Donald
right.
Trump, we can't just let him get off the hook, go in there and try to do whatever he wants and mm-hmm. hope some other people check and balance him. We've got to rely on Donald Trump to get into the White House and check himself, because that's important as well.
Right. He definitely should check himself yeah. in somewhere.
And he did give a really good speech last night. If you stayed up until 3 in the morning, I didn't, but I read the transcript on CNN this morning. It was exactly
yes.
the speech that he should have given. It was exactly the right words, the right message, the right meaning at the right time. And if that's his presidency, then
we might be okay.
Then we might be okay.
We might
yeah.
be okay.
Yeah.
But you know, we're gonna have to see how well he can stick to his script. And you know, it may be a very different process from what's been going on. I think he's played a lot of games and felt like, well, I'm just a candidate. I'm not the guy yet. So
yeah.
we'll see how it
and
goes.
And now he's the guy, so it's a different world.
Now he's almost the guy.
He's almost the guy. He will be. All right, Gene Bolduc, again, Weekend Water Cooler is the show. Check it out on Saturdays and
we'll
Sundays here on WCHL.
We'll be whining even more about this on Saturday.
Who's your guest this week? You know?
Well, I'm not sure which order, but I think it's going to be Michelle Johnson, who's
okay.
had some very, very interesting
yes.
observations already on Facebook about this, and some deep feelings, and then I think next week we're going to be talking with Matt Hughes,
mm-hmm.
If I can get him in off the ledge. But I think you know, these are some very disappointed Democrats who have worked very, very hard, but their voices are two that I'm really looking forward to hearing more from. So
well, we'll look forward to listening to that. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.